Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 68. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Graham, what's up?
Well, we've both seen Spotlight, which is one of the top contenders for this year's award season, and caught it last night in New York, and as I understand it, it's in a pretty wide release now. You saw it in Tuscaloosa, correct?
Yeah, to my surprise, it showed up at the Cobb Hollywood 16 in Tuscaloosa right around Thanksgiving week, along with Creed and The Good Dinosaur. Just kind of like slipped under the radar, but that was the first movie I chose to see out of all those.
Well, it's great that it's getting such a wide release. I mean, this is a movie hopefully a lot of people see. It's important. It's hard to watch at times, but definitely entertaining as a journalism focused procedural film. And we'll get to it in a minute, but a lot of humor in this movie, which is, you know, so surprising since it's about such serious subject matter. Do you want to set up what the film's about?
The movie is about employees at the Boston Globe circa, what was this, the late 90s or 2001, or I can't remember the exact year, but it's about employees at the Boston Globe who work for this special part of the newspaper, this investigative branch of the newspaper called Spotlight, who work to sort of methodically uncover a pattern of sexual abuse of children by the Roman Catholic priests in Massachusetts, and also the ongoing cover-up by the Boston Archdiocese. And this is obviously based on a true story, a series of stories by the actual Spotlight team that ended up earning the Boston Globe the Pulitzer Prize for Public Service in 2003. And this is written and directed by Thomas McCarthy, who was formerly an actor, and he turned a writer-director who has turned in so far some pretty considerable stuff in The Station Agent and The Visitor and Win-Win. He had what many feel like was a misstep with The Cobbler recently with Adam Sandler, but he sort of returned to form here with this movie Spotlight, which has obviously earned just worldwide praise so far, and justifiably so. But most of the success, you know, outside of the depth, script, and direction on his part, lies in the ensemble that he amassed here to fill out this Spotlight staff and these other members of the Boston Globe staff and other folks who don't work for the newspaper. But he's got actors like Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, John Slattery, Stanley Tucci, Liev Schreiber, Billy Crudup, and several others whose names are less familiar but whose talents are equal to those we're more familiar with. But for me, Graham, as somebody who has a journalism background and has worked, you know, at a few different levels of it, not quite at the level of the Boston Globe, certainly, but someone who has had an interest growing up and someone who's worked in the industry for a few years now, this movie feels kind of like a special occasion, I think, in that Thomas McCarthy really nails the tone of what how journalism really is executed at the professional level in terms of not really glamorizing it. But I think that for people who have a deep-rooted interest in journalism, for a lot of them, even though the lifestyle isn't that glamorous, the actual work itself and how many hours and how much, you know, how much work and how much emotion really goes into it, in a way, this sort of does glamorize the profession in that it makes you excited about it. It makes the story itself, obviously, and the subject matter is so provocative that it couldn't help but do that anyway. But I think that universal audiences will appreciate this. But for you, somebody who also has a background in journalism, surely you have a special appreciation for it, too.
Yeah, well, I think that this is a period piece. You know, this takes place in 2001 at a time when the journalism profession was about to make a huge change in terms of its reliance on the internet, which is acknowledged in the film. There's even a moment where there's which got a huge laugh in the theater They show an establishing shot of the Boston Globe office, and there's a outside the office, there's a billboard for AOL with the familiar Instant Messenger logo. And just to remind you of sort of at that time, that was, you know, one of the most popular ways people use the internet. But and people laugh because it's sort of it's just a memory, a nostalgic memory, because AOL is sort of defunct at this point in terms of how it was used back then. But in this film, you don't see the internet use that just is the norm in journalism today. It's completely changed, and so this gives us a glimpse of what it was like when people were pulling physical clips to do their research, and they would make requests for people to go in through use microfilm to pull up old articles that hadn't been digitized yet. So, you know, in terms of the dedication, the hard work, absolutely, it is a great portrait of journalists at work, but for sure captures an era that is absolutely over. And it's definitely gonna be a cool snapshot of that time and place for people who were in the business at the time, and they can compare it to how it is now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's hard not to notice the image you're talking about with the AOL billboard outside the Boston Globe, just a literal sign of what's coming and what's sort of leering over the industry, literally in that shot. And McCarthy certainly he. Again, you mentioned that this is a period piece and this is an era that was over, and it just doesn't feel like it was that long ago, yet technology and the state of the industry as it is would suggest otherwise, like that era is extinct and the people who worked in it are dinosaurs, you know, in the eyes of many who work with such technology today. But, you know, just from an old school journalism perspective, old school newspaper perspective, I think a lot of folks who still work in the industry and have had to make that transition in the past few years will again have a special appreciation for this movie and obviously the tender love and care that McCarthy put into it. I mean, I'd love to know his personal background and whether or not he has, you know, personal ties to journalism. I know that he coincidentally, and maybe this isn't a coincidence, was an actor during the fifth season of The Wire, David Simon's HBO show that so many people love. That show had a journalism theme in that the police who are investigating homicides interact with journalists, and we see scenes take place in every episode in the Baltimore set newspaper office, and Thomas McCarthy plays a reporter who is kind of smarmy and ends up fabricating some stories for that newspaper. And David Simon, who is obviously a former journalist, has a special knowledge for the industry, and maybe that rubbed off on Thomas McCarthy. I think that it probably did, you know, as we see Spotlight sort of hit the nail on the head when it comes to certain aspects of the industry. But in terms of the story, Graham, I mean, I was kind of, this is something that, like you said, it's dark in nature, but it does have flourishes of humor. And again, that's thanks to the script from McCarthy, which he co-wrote with Josh Singer, but also, again, the cast, who just full of vibrant actors and rich personalities that we've seen in movies that we've loved before, people that have a lot of personality and can really embody character. And they had to do it with real people. And I've gone and Google imaged and done some research on the actual people that they're playing, and I've got to say that they deserve high marks for casting people who bear physical resemblance to the actual people. And, you know, I don't know much about who those people actually were and about the work that they actually did. I'd love to go back and read that coverage, but I think that this cast is really special, and I'm surprised that, you know, Thomas McCarthy, even though he's worked with great actors like Richard Jenkins and Paul Giamatti and Bobby Cannavale, he's had great experience being an actor working with actors, but he really has a lot of tools to work with here. Did this cast, did it have the same effect on you that it did me, the fact that they were able to bring the story to such rich life and able to really fly through the script like they were able to?
Absolutely. This is one of the most impressive casts assembled in a long time, and it's so well executed in terms of juggling all the different parts that they play and how they contribute to the story. It's really just incredibly impressive, and I don't see how this doesn't win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. I mean, you've just got so many standouts. And, I mean, people that come to mind, I think Mark Ruffalo sort of has the showcase role. He's the one that gets the two sort of big emotional scenes that could really increase his chances at being considered come awards time. Michael Keaton is just solid here. I mean, he probably gets the most screen time, and it's just fantastic. And fans of Michael Keaton will really enjoy this, I think, because he definitely incorporates his little tics and body language that we're familiar with, but does it in a way that serves the story. And his character, to me, is perhaps the most interesting, because he's the one where we sort of deal with the hypocrisy of journalists in Boston, where they had chances to expose this problem, but didn't take it for whatever reason, because of the politics and because of the nature of the relationship between the Catholic Church and the city at large. And his character sort of goes through the most interesting journey, in my opinion. But also Liev Schreiber is amazing here as the guy that the editor of the Globe that sort of puts everything in motion here. He is so subdued, but his presence is just amazing. He commands respect. He's obviously got a lot of integrity, and just definitely appears to be a leader. And his voice sort of reminded me of Stephen Wright in Reservoir Dogs. It always felt like he was doing K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s. Rachel McAdams is wonderful. And then also a great supporting turn from Stanley Tucci as a lawyer that's trying to put together a class action suit against the church. He was just fantastic. And also Brian D'Arcy James, who he's one of the Spotlight reporters. I'd had the privilege of seeing him on Broadway in the show Something Rotten recently, and he's solid in the film, and just so many others. And I'm not trying to get into this might be a spoiler, and I might be wrong here, but was Richard Jenkins the voice of the psychologist that they speak to on the phone, Psych?
You know, that's a great question, because we never see him. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking now on the Wikipedia page, and you're correct in that it is Richard Jenkins. And I just kept trying to place that, and I never totally could.
they have a few conversations with him, and those are very memorable scenes and important scenes. And it's, you know, after seeing Step Brothers so many times that I can't forget that voice. So that's pretty cool. And he has the connection, obviously, with the director, because they did The Visitor together.
Yeah, now that you say that, it reminds me of Hannah and Her Sisters, where he plays the doctor on the other end of the phone with Woody Allen, telling him what could be wrong, with, you know, what could lead to, you know, what symptoms he's having. But
that was Richard Jenkins?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a reach. But, yeah, good ear on your part. But, yeah, Liev Schreiber is definitely one that stands out for me. You know, he's an actor I really like. I mean, he hasn't really had many opportunities to really showcase his talent at, like, say, the mainstream level. There have been a couple of moments on a few occasions, but mostly he likes to play in the background a little bit, and you kind of really have to, it doesn't take much to notice him, because he's a great actor. But you mentioned that his character is so subdued, and that has been the case with some of his performances. You and I have had, you know, the pleasure of, we had the opportunities to see him on Broadway in Glengarry Glen Ross, where he played perhaps the showiest part in the entire play, the Richard Roma character, and he was fantastic. But this guy just really has a broad spectrum of talent and what he's able to do. He can crank it up a notch, and he can internalize it, and he can do so much with saying so little, and that is definitely the case here in Spotlight. And he's the latest in you know, kind of a series of these journalism films, and these characters I love to see in these kinds of movies are editors. I think that they have been portrayed so well on screen, and movies that really do it well really get it right in terms of bringing us these characters who have such strong news judgment of character. They're just filled with integrity, and they're these people that you just immediately trust no matter what they say. And you know, you go back to a movie like All the President's Men, which is sort of the end-all, be-all journalism movie. And Jason Robards, the late, great Jason Robards, won an Oscar for playing the late, great Ben Bradley, editor of Washington Post. And, you know, coincidentally, his son Ben Bradley Jr. is portrayed in this film by John Slattery, but he's one of those characters, Ben Bradley and All the President's Men, where it's just a joy to watch him because you know that he knows what he's doing and you know that the paper is in good hands and that the reporters are in good hands. The same is true for, let's say, somebody like, I think Peter Sarsgaard in the movie Shattered Glass is really fantastic as the editor of that news magazine. And I love seeing these characters portrayed on screen. And Leb Schreiber, again, he's the latest, and he's really fantastic. And what I love about his character is as soon as he arrives on his first day, having his first editorial meeting, he comes up with this idea. He pitches this idea to explore this cover-up by the Boston Archdiocese. I mean, it's the first idea that he has, and he gives it the spotlight and sort of gives them the green light to do it. And you never really sense any sort of agenda. And something that this movie obviously explores, you mentioned the hypocrisy before, but something that it really puts on the table is that it's just the right thing to do, right? I mean, you don't really have to have an agenda to investigate something as heinous and dark as this. And that's what I loved about him and in that moment in the movie, that it doesn't seek to explain why he is so adamant about doing this. He knows that it's news, and he knows that it's the right thing for this team to do in this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also connected to the fact that he has a job to do, which is to sell papers. And they talk a lot about how they're expecting job cuts. And, you know, they definitely explain that, show that while he definitely is trying to do the right thing, that he's also trying to sell papers. And the beauty of journalism is that you can sell papers and keep people working by doing the right thing. It's great that those two things can go hand in hand. So it's a great story. And I think that a lot of people, you know, one thing that I walked away from the movie kind of wondering is like that this movie doesn't really get to the root of why this issue is so pervasive in the Catholic Church and has been for so many years. But that's not the job of this film. You know, it's just pointing out that it is a problem, that it's been covered up, that the church has spent a lot of money on keeping these guys that are guilty of these crimes out of jail, out of the press. And that's sort of the job, I think, that these reporters are doing. But like, what it's very, you know, I think people are going to leave the theater being like, why? Why is this? There's a very interesting scene where Rachel McAdams interviews briefly one of the priests that's implicated in the scandal, and his sort of his reasoning for why he did it is very interesting. And I like how McCarthy just sort of scratches the surface here in terms of what their own reasoning their own perspective is for this behavior, but he lets the scene be interrupted by the former priest's sister, and I thought that was kind of a haunting scene. And he just, you know, he's just kind of peeling back the layer, one layer in this story. And you know, this movie is doing the right thing as well. And at the end, they have this list of all the different cities in the world where these scandals have happened. It's mind-boggling, and I think that this movie, like the reporters, you know, who 14, 15 years ago shined a light on what was going on, this movie is going to continue to do it, and hopefully people can take a good, honest look at you know, what this institution is, what it stands for. While a lot of it's good, you have to be honest about the fact that there's a lot of this horrible business going on behind the scenes. And in the movie, there's a very powerful scene at the end where, even though we sort of wrapped up the story and the story's been printed, Stanley Tucci, his character, the lawyer, is going in to interview another set of kids who've been abused. And it's just haunting. And it's just saying that, you know, this continues to happen, and hopefully it'll spur some reform.
Yeah, that moment is really sobering, obviously, for the viewer and for Mark Ruffalo's character. And yeah, it's just sort of suggesting that they've just barely scratched the surface. They've done good things and they've done good work, and they've shined a light on something important. But they're only just getting started as you know, towards the end of the movie when they start, once this article publishes, and they prepare for this moment that they're going to start getting phone calls at their office, in the Spotlight office specifically. And once those phones start ringing, that just, to me, that was a moment too that hit really hard. And you know, what I think is great, you know, other than the fact that it does sort of remind you of just how powerful newspapers were, you know, they still have that same effect to an extent, but that's where you saw the story first. It wasn't once somebody just tweeted a link or once somebody posted it online first. We had to wait for that, and sometimes we had no idea what would be on the front page, you know, and we would open it up and we would read it and just be blown away by the breaking news that came on our kitchen counter, you know, in the form of that front page of the actual physical piece of the newspaper, and that is apparent in a quiet scene between Rachel McAdams and, was it her grandmother who was reading the story for the first time, and she's reading it and asks for a glass of water as she's kind of blown away by the lead, it seems, as she's reading it. But what I found so great about the performances is, you know, they put the story and they put the subject matter first, and these are people who have been showy in the past. Obviously, Michael Keaton is somebody who rarely is able to sort of contain his sort of unparalleled kinetic energy on screen, yet this is as subdued and refined, I think, as he has been in a movie that I can remember. And, you know, you've got people, and we've talked about Liv Schreiber and John Slattery and Stanley Tucci, people where it's just kind of all business, and they've been showy in the past, but again, they kind of put that to the wayside and let the work do the work. And Mark Ruffalo, I think, is you know, he's one of the best actors, you know, at this level right now. He, to me, you mentioned that it's the showiest performance of the movie, but I feel like it's the one performance where you can kind of feel every single thing that he's doing. You know, he kind of has he's kind of doing a voice, and perhaps it's to mimic the real guy, Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even so, and even with all the little eccentricities that he's obviously going for, it's a powerful performance, and he creates a very specific character that you root for and that you definitely identify with. And when he does have those emotional payoffs in those emotional moments, I think that they also serve as payoffs for the audience too. And you kind of understand where he's coming from, even though it's, you know, kind of an anomaly among a more subdued ensemble.
Yeah. Well, I definitely expect him to get a nomination, and I'm sure that this film will be nominated in a lot of categories. I think it has what it takes to win, you know, just an amazing ensemble, a story about an important issue, a controversial issue, and it's just executed so well by the director and the whole crew. So I could definitely see this being a serious contender come Oscar time.
Yeah, I do too. I think that it weirdly, even though it's December 4th as we're talking about it right now, it's almost got its momentum a little too early into the season, you know, and it's just something that you hope carries on through these, you know, mini campaigns that we'll see from movies like The Revenant and movies like, you know, The Hateful Eight and Joy and, you know, Carol and all these movies that we know will at least rear their heads when it comes to, you know, this season sort of playing out. You know, this is one of the few movies so far that we've actually seen too, and we know that all of the universal praise that it's received so far is worth it. The movie's totally worthy of that. And what excites me more than anything beyond whether or not it wins any Oscars, and maybe it does, and that'd be great if it does, but to me it just, it's a celebration of McCarthy as a filmmaker, and I think he's obviously somebody that people have been paying close attention to based on those three movies that I mentioned before. But so far, to me, this is easily the best thing that he's done so far. I don't know if this is the first thing of his that you've seen.
I've seen The Visitor, but I haven't seen Station Agent or Win Win.
They're really good. They're really good, and yeah, I can highly recommend them. But yeah, this is to me just like what it's been building up to so far. And obviously he's working with an impeccable cast, but you know, it's really, again, the strength of this movie is its script, I think, and like the level of research that obviously went into it, and the fact that he and again this cast were able to execute that very important document. And I think it's just fantastic. And also just in terms of like some of the technical specs, I think Howard Shore's score is really good. it's again, we keep going back to this word subdued, but I mean, there's just kind of like a minimalist quality to this, because I think that it's all about respecting what it is, what story they're trying to tell. And I think everything that they do to build around that is really deftly done. And I think the cinematography, as simple as, you know, people might think it may be, it's by this guy, and I don't want to mispronounce his name, but I believe it's Masanobu Takayanagi. And this I think he does really terrific work. There's the moment, he's a Japanese cinematographer, he did movies like Silver Linings Playbook and Warrior, but there's a moment, you mentioned the actor who does more stage work than film work, Brian Darcy James. There's a moment where he notices something about his neighborhood, and he leaves his home, and it's a single shot from his back that serves as a long take as he makes a discovery as he rounds a street corner. And it's just a really awesome moment where the camera, where it had sort of been serving as kind of like a back, it was kind of operating in the background, it really lets the cinematographer shine, and is a great piece of visual storytelling. So I think that technically this movie is really on point too.
Absolutely. I think all around it's something special, and hopefully people will take the opportunity to check it out, because there's a lot more coming. And as you said, it got an early release, and there, if it doesn't continue its momentum, there's a chance it could sort of slip away. So definitely get out there and check it out if you can.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.